696 will be the song of invitation later on. And once you've got that, Mark, let's turn to number 289. 289, and after this song, Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus painted it all to him I owe.
With think about being spiritually minded in our walks of life as God has instructed us to have, we also want to know the meaning of God's Word in teaching us how we can be spiritually minded. From the beginning of our Christian walk, how can we have that maintained? And fortunately, Jesus talked about it as well as the inspired apostles and writers of the New Testament books of the Bible. First off, consider with me what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. In the King James Version, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And in the other translations of this, it uses the word proper for the Greek text there, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." Then he comes back to, "But the straight gate and narrow way leads unto life, and it leads unto life to those who follow that way." So the idea is, how do we maintain that kind of spiritual walk? We get into that narrow gate, that walk that narrow way, that straight gate, difficult to enter. There are things we can't take in there with us, a way of life, a way of talk, a way of action in our days. We can't take all of that with us. But we can go in through that gate and walk that narrow way that leads unto life. It is the case that in the Bible we find people challenging those who taught in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, we read where the Sanhedrin council called the apostles together to explain a situation regarding a man that they had healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And as they began to explain the situation, they were denied or rejected because of that particular group of people in that work. And so what they say is about that is significant for us today. It is said in Acts chapter 4 and down at verse number 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which the builder rejected, and has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." They go on to be challenged in this regard. And we get down to verse number 18 and 19. "They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man that was above 40 years old, on whom his miracle of healing was shown, and let him go, they went to their own company and reported all that was done to the chief priests and elders that said unto them. And when they heard that they had lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why doth the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things?" It is noted in regard to this that they further went on to talk about the fact that they could only speak the word of the Lord. It is said in verse 29 of Acts 4, Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. A little bit later, Simon Peter is called into challenge by this same group of men in the council. And in Acts 5 and verse 29, it is noted regarding him when he says, with the other apostles, we ought to obey God rather than man. How to maintain a spiritual walk is to understand that God through his word is speaking. And as his word was being spoken, they were to practice that. The things that they had seen and heard of him in his word was the thing that they wanted to speak to others in his name. And that was it. That was it. They were willing to suffer death or whatever have you to come to them. It is said regarding these people that great fear came upon all the church, and as many as heard these things when the death of Ananias and Sapphira occurred in Acts 5 and verse 11. So they were seeking to do God's will and God's way as he had ordered them and asked for them to do. It is mentioned to us in Galatians 6 and at verse 1. In the passage that tells us in regard to the way of life that they lived and that they practiced, that they were not to be people who left the word of God and practiced what the people who wanted them to do. They say in Galatians 6 and 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, notice that we have others around us that are spiritually minded. They haven't faced the same situations that we face, perhaps, and they are still spiritually minded. Perhaps they have faced those same situations, and they stayed with the word of God. And they say the following, who taken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. And every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word, look at that verse 6, Galatians 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he'll sow the truth and sow the teaching of God's word to his fellow man, he'll help to restore such one who's overtaken in a fault. It'll be the word of God that directs the change of life to that individual. And it'll be pointed out to that individual, this is what God's word says for us all to practice, and you particularly at this point in time in your life. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, if on the other hand, he was to sow a way of life that is sinful and wrongdoing, not the word of God at all, not communicate with him the word of God, and teaching all good things to him, then he would teach him to go further away from God. And if we teach somebody to go further away from God, we find ourselves going away from God as well. And that's a sad thing. Paul had addressed the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15 at 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. It's good news. I declare unto you the gospel, which I formerly preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, and by which you will be saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. If they believed in vain in the sense of going away from God's word and God's will, away from the gospel, the good news of the Lord, then they wouldn't push away their salvation. But salvation could be theirs, enjoyed, and a blessing to them. And they could keep on growing in the ways of the Lord in a spiritual way if they communicated one with another as the word of God is said. He says in verse 6 once again, Galatians 6 and 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. talk back with him about the Word of God, what this may mean, what the understanding of it is, how it applies to you that teaching me to overcome this particular problem, be more spiritually minded, how it applies to yourself as well as to me. Now, James will write in regard to those who find themselves falling into the unsure way of life. And in Romans chapter 2 and 3, Paul deals with the brethren who find themselves walking away from the Lord. And as a result of that walking away from the Lord, because of their practice of life, when they taught others to do things that they did not themselves practice. As a result, they needed to practice that way of life in order to please God and do the right thing. And they would have a greater influence upon people being spiritually minded if they taught them what they were practicing themselves. And when they're practicing not that way and falling that way, how sad it is for them to find themselves without a helper to go toward heaven itself because of the way of life that they're being taught about following. When Peter talked about this, 1 Peter 2 at verses 1 and 2, he said, "For wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings." These are things that ride on the lips, the tongue. And what does James say in James 3 about the tongue? It's an unruly world of evil and how it will take us away from God. So we are warned in this verse of Scripture, put these things away from you, laying them aside. Ask God to help you to not have the malice in your heart and the guile in your heart and the ways of hypocrisy in your spirit and the envies and the evil speakings. And clear yourself of this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. This is a way of life for us to spiritually to follow the way of the Lord. Desire first the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. And we may need to understand the fact that in the Bible, we're taught very vividly as we read along in the writings of the Hebrew letter, that we're to be people who, when the time has come that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one come and teach you again, which be the oracles of the first principles of God and not of those who are needing strong meat, but in need of milk, that you may grow thereby. He says this in this regard, verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use who have their senses exercised to discern or to know the difference in good and evil. So when we find ourselves being people who have the milk of God's Word and growing in it, we should not become so enamored with the milk of God's Word that we stay only in that, but that we grow on to the time that he says here in verse 12 of Hebrews 5, for the time has come that you ought to be teachers. You ought to be instructing others, ought to be sharing with others the change that has happened in your life because of the Lord's way of telling you to walk the spiritual walk of life. So as we do that, we find ourselves back to Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He's already told us ahead of time it's not an easy way to walk, and that it'd be worth our time, however. As he gives to us in 1 Peter 2, he says it's made of precious stone, a precious stone. built up into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God as we praise Him. What a blessing it is to sing the songs and to quote His scripture and to cite His word that guides us into a spiritual walk of life that others would not deny and not reject. Thank you for listening and studying tonight. This is a way that the Bible tells us, in Jesus' words as well as in the words of the inspired writers of the New Testament, that we can maintain, go into, and maintain a spiritual walk of life. The milk of God's Word, the meat of God's Word, and the way that we can do that is to follow that Word as it directs us. It tells us where we ought to be and what we ought to be saying and doing. Thank you for your time and your study tonight. If anyone's subject to Jesus' invitation, would you come to Him as we stand and sing this song?
Just for you and me, let us haste, oh, haste the spring. Just the hand of love from the source of love, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a lock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you.
Table to remember the sacrifice of your Son at Canadian Cross. And Father, at this time we want to take our minds back to the cross to remember His body that hung on that cross and suffered for us. We're thankful for the bread that represents that body, and Father, we pray that the ones who take of it do so in a manner be pleasing to Thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed for our sins. Again, Father, we pray that the one that take of it may do so in a manner be pleasing to Thee. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
We have a men's business meeting after the service of this evening. Is there any other announcements we need to make? Let's turn to number 94. 94, and after this song, Gail, would you lead us in prayer?
How do it?
Each step I take, I say your goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper,
each day.
take. Just lead me closer home.
Amen.